know what time it is? 7:07. It is time to talk theater. Not movies, not television, but the theater. I mean, what's called the legitimate theater? Like, is there illegitimate theater? I mean,
I don't think so. I would hope not.
This is the legitimate theater as opposed to the illegitimate one that's down the block. Jocelyn Fish is here, marketing. You have a longer title list, but marketing
director of marketing and development.
And development. Mm-hmm. That's the development part. And Sheb Mohammed is here. One of the people who are in a brand new production in this corner, Cassius Clay.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in, Sheb, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
But we'd start with the show. Let's get a little background on Sheb here. Now, did I hear you say assistant principal before?
Yes.
Where were you assistant principal?
Trimper High School in Kenosha.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is year 28 in education for me.
So you still do that?
In general, yes.
And then you're moving into show business. because it's more stable.
It really is.
What made you decide to work out with the show?
Quick story.
We got an hour. You can take it.
So Tavar, my daughter, 21. So she in school for theater. And so she's been trying out. And she tried out for this play. And we laughed. And said, it'd be fun. I should try out too. And I said, no, never mind. That's your gig, your thing. So then our friend, Melissa Caprillion, had recommended me to the Theater Guild for their board and some other things. And I get an email saying, hey, we need more male actors, more black male actors. Would you like to try out and read for the play? Why not? All right. Told my daughter. Told Melissa, was like, hey, if it works. And somehow they said I did good. And so now I have the part as the narrator.
But this narrator's on stage.
All the time.
Yeah, this is like, remember Our Town?
Mm-hmm.
Where the narrator was on stage the whole time? There's a couple of other shows like that, too, where the narrator always stays on stage. Well, that's great. Now, you didn't have your first performance yet. That's this Friday? Thursday, Friday?
This Friday. We opened to public, yeah.
Friday. You a little nervous?
Most definitely.
See, this is the thing I never understood, how people remember their lines for a long show. I have one thing I've got to say every break, local news and timeless hits, and it's got to be written in front of me. They actually put it on a label so I wouldn't forget it. One thing I got to remember, and I can't remember that without looking at it.
Yeah.
And I remember lines.
Yeah.
And I think the scariest thing is your line is dependent on the line. Well, you're a narrator, but when you're acting two people.
Correct.
If the person across from you blows their line, your line's got to change because it won't make sense.
It's all about listening and responding. And but Sheb has a lot of monologues. I mean, that's pretty much what he's doing is monologues. And it's really cool because he's kind of representing Muhammad Ali looking back on his childhood.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he's speaking in the kind of that pattern that Muhammad Ali was kind of famous for, that almost spoken word, I guess.
That's what we could call it nowadays, spoken word. Yeah.
Okay, so the show is In This Corner, Cassius Clay.
Yes.
For people who don't know, Cassius Clay later became Muhammad Ali, but do you know I saw a movie, I actually have it on DVD, with Jackie Gleason, Mickey Rooney, Julie Harris, and Anthony Quinn. And the movie starts off from, you're watching a boxing match from Anthony Quinn's point of view, and he's being beaten to a pulp by Cassius Clay, 1962.
Mm.
And on the poster in the background says Cassius Clay against Mountain Rivera.
Yeah.
That's Anthony Quinn's
character.
That
would have been right after where this play ends, I think, because we're about the 1950s to the 1960 Olympics,
right.
I think.
Right after the Olympics.
Yeah, he was in the movie Requiem for a Heavyweight, only at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he has one line. He leans over and says, you okay? And he pulled it off. So, and there were other shows called The Greatest, based on Muhammad Ali's life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's larger than life.
Yes, he is.
He's the champ.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so where did this play come from?
So this is written by Idris Goodwin. Idris is, he actually does a lot of plays in breakbeat style and rap style. So the spoken word that's kind of woven throughout this production makes sense in Idris's style production, but it was created, I believe, for a Kentucky theater where it started because Cassius grew up in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about his life in Louisville, Kentucky in the 1950s and what the world was like at the time and the division and the segregation, but also about this young boy that just like finds this passion for boxing after his bike is stolen. And that's all based around a true fact. His bike was stolen, and a local police officer kind of took him under his wing and took him to the boxing ring and taught him what he knew. And so it's him from about 11 years old to 19 or 20, I think. So we actually have two actors playing Cassius as he's growing up as well, which is kind of great. And they look so much alike. It's
amazing. They really do. They really do.
That's tough when you have to find two people that look similar to each other. Yeah. It's not going to work. So this runs, let's get the
logistics.
Yeah. Okay. So this run, it opens Friday.
Opens Friday the 21st, runs through March 2nd. Yes.
Because I have tickets for this, and my wife said it's for this weekend.
Yes. Yes. So this is a 2-week run. So we call this one of our bonus shows. Yeah. This is also a show that we're going to perform for local schools. So we have 4 outreach performances where students from different schools are going to come watch the cast, and then they get to have a talk back afterwards asking about all kinds of different stuff.
Are they coming from your school?
So I'm not in a school right now, but I did drop it off to my old schools.
To all the ones he's been at, yeah.
Okay. Well, there he is. Let's shoot Peter. little P-shirt around. Screw him up. Well, this sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, if people, tickets still available. Now, I have to warn people because this comes up, and I don't know how this started. But if you want to buy tickets, buy it through the Racine Theater Guild, not a secondary broker, that's crazy what happened. Yes. People are paying over $100 for a ticket when tickets are what?
For this one, the top price is $20.
Yeah, $20. So if you're going to buy it, you buy it either directly at the box office or the RacineTheater.org. Is that it? RacineTheater.org. Yes. Don't go to any secondary brokers or anything. Don't put in there and Google it. Just RacineTheater.org or schlep on down to the theater box office. I'm sure the steps have been cleaned.
Yes, they have.
So you can get up
there. Parking lot's clear.
Okay. More to come up. We're talking to our guest, Jocelyn Fish from the Racine Theater Guild, and Sheb Mohammed, the narrator, one of the stars of the newest production in this corner, Cassius Clay. More coming up in a moment. It's 7:19, local news, Tandless Hit to WRJN on this President's Day today. Sunshine with a high near 8. Partly cloudy, lows -6 tonight. Sunny with a high near 10 tomorrow. Right now, believe it or not, it's warming up since I got in here. It's now 0 with sunshine here at Radio Park. I was going to say something, and I'm not going to say it now. Okay, coming up, we're giving away tickets to Herman's Hermits and the Association in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, so be here for that. Jocelyn Fish is here right now, marketing director and director of development.
Yes,
got it. For the Racine, and even write it down for the Racine Theater Guild. And Sheb Mohammed is here. And he's one of the actors in the latest production in this corner, Cassius Clay, which opens up Friday night, runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? And then runs another weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
Now, are you saying these lines in your sleep?
I did dream about it last night, Don. To be honest, and I was nervous about being here, didn't make sure I had the lines.
Nervous about here?
Yeah, you might ask me to recite a line. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you trick questions. Now, we were talking during the break there about bit parts. My next door neighbor is in a couple of bit parts in Chicago, Chicago Med and Chicago Fire. And you knew that immediately when I said that.
Yeah.
Are you in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Any of your actors, your regulars in it?
We have some volunteers that go down and do that. And actually, you know, it's interesting that you kind of talk about that because with this show, we have 14 actors involved. Whoa. And I would say about 8 of them are involved in a lot of different areas. And then there's like the other 6 are really supporting characters that help shape different moments. So those people play multiple different roles or are kind of even just like spectators in scenes because, you know, you think of Cassius Clay was boxing in these giant arenas at the time or small crowds. And so they're kind of there to support all the aspects of the show as well, which is great.
Neither one did a bit part before. I've never done a bit part. My aunt and uncle, when they retired, lived in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they were in a ton of movies and TV shows because they film a lot of them out there. They were in Con Air in a crowd scene. They're in the movie The Hangover. Remember The Hangover?
The Hangover, yes.
Now, I'll tell you what scene they're in. When Bradley Cooper takes the car, police car, and he's riding it on the sidewalk, my uncle and aunt have to get out of the way of the car. So we freeze framed it so we could see them. They actually filmed a bunch of scenes. Only one made it into the movie. Yeah. So they were in that. Their big scene was in a horrible movie with Johnny Depp. oh, I forget the name of the picture. It was the one where he played the writer. I can't think of the name of it. I'll think of it in just a second. Anyway, Johnny Depp gets out of an elevator. My aunt is crying, and he goes up to her, and you hear him thinking, I wonder what she's crying about. Mm. Then he leans over to my uncle, who's playing at the card table, and he leans over and says, huh, I wonder if he's got a winning hand. So they're on big screen with Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. That's their big claim to fame. But they were in a bunch of others, too.
Yeah.
I saw a movie getting filmed once, and I've told this story before. It was back in the 70s. I was sitting up on the, this is in the Columbus Circle off Central Park West by Columbus Circle in Manhattan. I'm sitting there on a bench, and I see a big banner going across the opening to Central Park, and it says, Palantine for President. And it was 1975. Somebody may be running for president called Palantine. I see a bunch of cameras, a bunch of people milling around. And, oh, they're filming a commercial for Palantine. What do I know? And I'm watching, and I go about my business later on, and I leave. About 6 months later, I'm watching TV, and they're reviewing a movie, and I see Palantine for President. Mm. I said, wait a second, Palantine for President? That sounds familiar. I can't, where do they see Palantine? I know we didn't see the movie. It was Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro. Mm. They were filming the scene where he's got the mohawk, and he's got the gun sliding down his hand. But he wasn't a star at the time. And it, over there was Albert Brooks, Sybil Shepherd, Martin Scorsese. They were all there, but I didn't know any of these people. They were all people. Pretty fresh people.
Just people.
But that's it. My father was on the set of Ghostbusters in Manhattan screaming because they were causing traffic jams.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You know, you see occasionally, you see movies. Okay, so I want to talk about this again. Mm-hmm. Now, this takes place, this is, if you're just tuning in this corner, Cassius Clay, beginning this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild. Tickets available. It runs for 2 weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's your only chance. Don't miss it. I think mine is for this weekend, my wife said. So this takes place from when he's a little kid up until he's... gets into the Olympics?
Yep, Olympics. So I think it ends right around the 1960s Olympics. And, you know, one really great thing about it is even though it's the story of Cassius Clay, I personally did not know who Cassius Clay was until I read this script.
Really?
I didn't know that name. I did not know Cassius Clay. Whoa. That was before, a little before my time. So it's been interesting to learn the history of Muhammad Ali, obviously. But also, I think this is a pretty... universal story. I don't know if you agree with that, Sheb, of what people might kind of walk away with in the story itself, like that they can learn something from this story.
Oh, definitely can learn something from the story, not just his history and who and what and how he became himself, but just other times and what Black people had to overcome.
Yes.
So he grew up in Louisville.
Yes.
Notice they didn't say Louisville. I said Louisville, like they say Louisville. He grew up there, normal family?
Yeah, so his father and mother and younger brother are actually characters in the show as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're there to support him. His father was a painter. His mother was, you know, the homemaker, but she really supported, they actually really did support his dreams overall, which was really interesting. He had to fight in the ring, though. He couldn't fight outside the ring. He had to fight in the ring.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know why, but when Cassius Clay fought Sonny Liston, for the championship, we all went out to my father's car, went in there and listened. Well, I didn't know why we didn't listen on the radio in the house. This was beyond. We all crowded in his car. And I remember it, and it was the first fight I ever heard. I was a little kid. And I heard him say, bobbing and weaving. He's bobbing and weaving. He's got a left hook. And it was over, and you could hear Muhammad Ali screaming, or Cassius Clay at the time. Mm-hmm. I am the greatest. Screaming it over and over. I am the greatest. He beat Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
And I heard that on the radio. And up until a few years ago, when I told the story to somebody, they said, why were you and your father's car listening? I said, I have no idea. We had radios all over the house. But we went in the car. We got all crammed in there to hear it on the radio in the car. I am the greatest. Mm. And that stuck with him for life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got a lot more to talk about here. I've got two Muhammad Ali stories to tell you. I've got, we're going to talk about the next show coming up at the Racine Theater Guild. We got the Children's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We got Gene's Jazz.
Yep.
Boy, you guys are busy.
We're always busy.
How's everybody rehearsing all at the same time?
We got 3 rehearsals. We got a stage, a green room, and even the lobby right now.
You do the lobby?
Mm-hmm.
So if I go there to the box office, I'll see a preview of the show in the lobby?
Well, it's like at 8 o'clock at night, but sure.
I don't live far away. I live 5 minutes away. I could be over there and watch it in the lobby.
Yeah.
All right, Jocelyn Fish is here. She is the marketing director and director of development development at the Racine Theater Guild. Sheb Mohammed is the narrator, one of the stars of the new production. In this corner, Cassius Clay. This production at the Racine Theater Guild opening Friday. In this corner, Cassius Clay. We've got one of the stars of the show. Sheb Mohammed is here, and also the marketing director and director of development for the Racine Theater Guild, Jocelyn Fish, is here as well. Mm-hmm. Talking about the show. I got to get my Muhammad Ali stories in.
If
I
don't
get
it in. Let's go.
Yeah, and by the way, the show is about Cassius Clay. Mm-hmm. Before he became Muhammad Ali. This is leading up. Does it take part when he's going to the Olympics, or does he already?
He actually gets to the Olympics in the story as well.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. So, okay. So here's my Muhammad Ali story. I got two of them. we're in Louisville. We went to the Ark. You know what that Ark is? Yep. In Noah's Ark, the actual replica. Okay. So we have some time to kill. So we go to this cemetery in Louisville, and it's huge. It's 65 acres. It's gigantic. And I didn't know where I was, so luckily I bumped into somebody who had an extra map. So we're looking for Muhammad Ali's grave because he's buried there. And my wife found out that he wanted a very simple marker. He didn't want a big elaborate thing, but his family didn't fulfill his wishes. And they built this elaborate garden and everything. It's pretty big. And it's really nice. I mean, I was there, and that's where he's buried in Louisville. Also buried there not far from him is Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Harlan Sanders. Also buried right near him is a woman named Patty Smith. Have you heard of her?
No.
You never heard of her either?
I don't know.
Patty Smith?
Maybe.
Patty Smith and her sister Mildred wrote a song, "Happy Birthday to You."
Ah.
And she's got a very simple marker, and she's buried right there. Doesn't make any mention of the song. But if you see a movie where that song is sung, you'll see Patty and Mildred Smith at the end of the film. And she's a simple lady. She was a school teacher, one of your profession, and that's what she was. So that's pretty neat. So the show was there, and you're the narrator. So you were basically Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay. I can't get used to that. Cassius Clay, from being a little kid on to, now are you an adult?
I'm an adult.
You've seen it all.
Seen it all, looking back in retrospect. So it's a reflection. In a sense, having a conversation with myself, telling the story.
So. Well, that's it. And that's good. That's like Our Town. And there's a couple of shows that have narrators that are on stage narrating the whole. And I think I've seen some of your shows like that before.
Yeah. And I think Sheb's character, especially in this story, you do not have to know boxing to come see this show. I think that's one thing that.
No, it's about it's about a person.
It's about a person. And I think Sheb's character especially helps tie that in together of kind of the commentary about perseverance, about overcoming obstacles, about, again, the history of the world at the time and how different it was, how far we've come, how far we've not come. And, you know, just kind of that reflection on things is really great. And it makes it, again, a little more universal than having to know a jab cross hook combo.
Is that what it's called?
A jab is one punch. Yeah. A cross is another punch. A hook
I don't
is
know this
punch.
Stuff. What do I know? I don't know the boxing world. I had one fight in my entire life with a kid. One fight. And I'll tell you how it ended. I was in fifth grade. The kid's name was Mickey Strange. That was his name. And for some reason, and we were good friends at one time. We were in classes together. I've got a picture of him on my phone in my class picture. And one day he's telling everybody he's going to beat me up in the playground after school. For some reason, I don't know why. And I was much taller than him. I don't know. I think he was going to fight me. And I was I was the school crossing monitor. So I go out there and there's all the kids by the basketball court waiting for the big, school is. This is grammar school. I think we were 11, 12 years old. And he's waiting, and I see him there. And he puts his school books down, and I charge him. I don't hit him. I just charge him and push him right into the chain link fence, and he starts crying and walks away. That was it. I didn't want to punch him because I didn't want to hurt him. But I just charged him, and I knocked him off his feet. He lost his wind, and that was my only fight. That's it.
There you go.
Yeah, so
and now you're a radio host.
Remembering.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. What am I going to tell you? Here's my other Muhammad Ali story. Now, this happened a couple of years ago. My cousin is James Rosen. He used to work for Fox. He was one of their correspondents in Washington. And he's coming out late at night. He sees this man trying to cross the street. He's a little shaky. And he sees him crossing the street. He recognizes him. And he comes up. He says, "Hey, champ, want some help crossing the street?" He goes, "Thank you." And he took his arm. And he walked the champ across the street. And he says, "Where are you going, to the hotel?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you want me to walk you?" He said, "No, I'm good from here on. Thank you. It was Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
He recognized that he was all alone. And this is when he was starting to get the Parkinson's shaking and everything. So he was walking kind of slow. My my cousin recognized the champ. I'll walk you across the street.
The champ, the greatest, the Louisville lip. He had a few nicknames.
Yeah, so those are my two Muhammad Ali stories.
Yeah.
But so I always play this 1 degree or 2 degrees or 3 degrees of separation. Yeah. And I could, you, it's amazing how many degrees of separation. Now, just by knowing me, you're 2 degrees away from separation from Muhammad Ali.
There we go.
Because you know me. My cousin puts me 1 degree of separation away, and you're just 2 degrees.
Yeah.
See how close it is? Now, your daughter?
My daughter.
Yeah. She's 3 degrees away. She knows you. You know me. I know my cousin. He knows Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how you can do something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this show, it's In This Corner, Cassius Clay, and it runs 2 weekends starting this Friday. And you have never put on a bad show.
No.
And we were talking off the air. My wife and I saw Over the River and Through the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
We never heard of it before.
Right.
And a lot of these shows you never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like Legally Blonde, we've heard of, but you never heard of some, the big musicals you've heard of. Never heard of it. We loved it so much. We went home and she looked up on YouTube and found 2 more productions of the show. Yours was much better. But there was a high school production, which really pulled it off pretty well because, you know, 16-year-old kids pulling off, you know, old grandparents was pretty tough. They did it. And we saw another community theater production. But I'm not just blowing smoke here. Yours was the best.
It was great.
I love it. And the actors you used, you had one of the actors here in the studio.
Yes, I did. Dan Venny.
Dan Venny was here. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other shows coming up because I don't want to run out of time here.
Okay.
The next show up is, by the way, when you had Little Women.
Yes.
I had never seen Little Women before. I've never seen it. I heard about it. So we watched the production, and then I had to go home and watch every version of the movie. I even bought my wife for Christmas a leather-bound version of Little Women.
Yeah.
And she likes the, Saoirse Ronan version. Yeah. She loved that. So I bought her that on DVD.
There you go. What a good guy.
I liked the June Allison version. I thought that was great. Yeah. She didn't like that. Yeah. She thought it was too MGM-ish.
Yeah.
You know, they really, I kind of like that one the best, though. But you've got one coming up now. Always a Bridesmaid.
Always a Bridesmaid opens in April, so that's in rehearsal right now. Michael Klickner is directing that one. And then actually this weekend, we have auditions for Legally Blonde, the musical. So right after we open Cassius Clay, we have Legally Blonde auditions. So just like, I mean, one of the really great things about Cassius Clay is it is almost everyone is new to the Theater Guild and or new to acting. So same with Legally Blonde. You do not have to have done a show ever before. You can come and audition, and then that goes up May 16th through June 1st.
You'd have to sing and dance, don't you?
You can learn.
No, I can't learn.
Come on, Don. Let's do it.
My wife is teaching me the piano now, and I never realized how difficult it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can play with my right hand. I can play with my left hand. I can't do it together. I can't because I'm concentrated. And the notes on the treble clef and the bass clef are in different positions. So the C and the G on the those is not in the same position on the bottom, and I'm trying to analyze it. Now I can play the piano without looking at the keys, but I can't play both hands at the same time. She said, you're getting there. So I know how to play with my left hand, I know how to play with the right hand, but I can't seem to get it together.
Yeah.
And I watch people now, the guy at church who plays the piano on stage, I watch his hands. I say, this is amazing. I said, how do you do it? And he said to me, I don't play well with my left hand, so I keep it simple so I don't have to concentrate on it. But you watch pianists on stage. Even Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is an amazing pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch her on stage for 2 hours. How is she getting these two hands to do the right notes?
Amazing.
And then throwing the foot on the pedal. Throwing the foot on the pedal.
I don't know how they do it. Now, when you do Legally Blonde, you can have a live
We will have tracks. That one. Yeah,
because sometimes you do have.
We did. Like this summer, we were able to do a live band for First Date. So that was nice because it was like a 5-piece band. So, but Legally Blonde, we will have a track on that one.
Okay, good. We're talking to Jocelyn Fish and Sheb Mohammed from the latest production of In This Corner, Cassius Clay. In This Corner, Cassius Clay. Tickets are available right now. And I'm going to, if you're just tuning in, The only way you should really buy it is if you go to the box office in person.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your box office hours? You're open a lot.
We're open Monday through Friday, 12 to 6, and then 90 minutes prior to each production.
So, yeah. So you can get the tickets in person or go online to racinetheater.org.
Yes.
Don't buy it through any third-party people because you're going to pay
out of
five times.
Yes.
Five times the amount.
Yeah.
And I can't believe people do that.
Yep. And it's all a scam. So, yes, please, please, please buy from the Racine Theater Guild.
Want to hear my mother's story about the ticket scalping? Okay, I'll tell you this story. My mother, you know, when she lived in New York, she used to go to Broadway musicals a lot, Broadway shows. And she was going to see The Sound of Music with Richard Chamberlain playing on Broadway. And they're waiting at the tickets booth for the tickets. And the line is from here to Kingdom Come. And she went to make sure she gets the tickets. Some guy comes up to her and says, are you going to see The Sound of Music today? I got two tickets for the matinee. And my mother says, listen, I live here. I'm here all the time. If these tickets are no good, I will find you. And you're going to be sorry. Mm. I guarantee, because my mother worked for the Department of Consumer Affairs.
Sure.
She takes down corporations. She doesn't need this little scalper. He says, no, these are good. He says, I hope they are because I will find you. Turns out they work good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they aren't. Mm. But, you know, you get these visitors to New York. They don't realize that there are mean people out there.
Yeah. So, but, they just want money.
I take a picture of my mom. I will find you if these tickets are no good. And he said, no, this is good. Now with this kid, I scared to death. So only buy them through the racinetheater.org website or through the box office. Don't go to any third-party people to buy them.
Correct.
Because you're going to pay five times the amount.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. Okay, the latest show. Before we get to the recap of this show, let's talk about the Children's Theater.
Yes. So Children's Theater, March 7th through the 9th.
Yeah,
we
memorized.
Have Little Red Riding Hood. It's a panto coming up, so they're in rehearsals for that, which will be great. And again, those are nice because those are $7 a ticket, an hour long, and then the kids get to meet the cast and crew or the cast afterwards and take photos, and it's a lovely little day out for kids.
Now, you had kids in the Christmas pageant show.
We did. And actually, two of those actors are in Cassius Clay.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I can't believe these kids really know how to act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing how you pull that off. So that's Little Red Riding Hood. That's the Children's Theater, March 7th through the 9th.
Yes.
And again, they can get tickets. But you got a whole bunch of shows coming up, Children's Theater.
Actually, that's our last one of this season.
What is it? Oh, that doesn't say June. It says Junie B's. I thought that said June.
That was in January.
See what I know? I know nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. You got Legally Blonde coming up, and you've also got the
Always a Bridesmaid.
Always a Bridesmaid. So people can buy tickets for that.
Yep.
Now the new season begins in September, right? Or is it before September?
July, technically.
July.
So we will be announcing next year's season March 11th.
So you will be on this radio station, I assume.
Yeah, probably the day after, or a couple days after.
A couple? Not a couple. Not a couple. Not a couple.
I guess I'm here March 12th.
By a couple of days, everybody knows. I don't want a couple of days. I'm not doing a couple. They got Jean's Jazz coming up.
Yes, our next one is the Extra Crispy Brass Band. Mm-hmm. So that's New Orleans jazz style coming on April 15th.
Extra Crispy.
April, March 15th. And then April 19th is Janet Planet is coming back to town to close out.
Oh, that's right. Janet Planet. And that's a real name, huh?
Yeah, that's her stage name. Yeah.
Oh, stage name. Okay, Janet Planet. Okay, what a great name to have.
Yeah.
Okay, in this corner, Cassius Clay.
Yes.
For people just tuning in, because I have people tuning in and out all morning long, this is the latest show from the Racine Theater Guild for the next 2 weeks. It takes place of Cassius Clay as a little boy leading up to the Olympics.
Yes.
After the Olympics.
Yes.
And stops just before he becomes a heavyweight fighter, right?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. And so it's been a really great production to come together because, again, we have a first-time director with us, Sean Holmes. He's been on stage at the Theater Guild, and he's taken on this crazy challenge of this show because with so many new people, there's just extra learning curves to things, which is wonderful because everyone's on the same page of we're all trying something new. We're all in this together. We're all a team to support each other. But it's a little chaotic at times. But it's been, Muhammad Ali is such an interesting figure. And to see him captured in reality, I think, is really interesting. I don't know, Shep, if you have anything else to add to that.
Yeah, I could add.
About the newness. Now, Shep Muhammad, you're the narrator of the show. You're on stage the entire time. And this is your first acting job. And I'm looking at your person. Well, okay, we did find out you did do a bit part.
Small bit back in college.
With the Coreys. Corey Haim and Corey
Mario,
Feldman.
Well, Corey Feldman. Haim and Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
And the track team had to race Corey Haim, and we got beat by the guy, and we was like, nah, but to shoot one scene was like 2 hours for 20 seconds. Yeah. But my name did show up in the credits, along with my friends.
Did you, were you convincing in the role?
I believe I was.
Did you pull it off?
Pull it off. Pull the hamstring.
Yeah. Okay, so you're the narrator. You're on stage the whole time, and you are looking back at your life.
It's the reflection, looking back, telling the story from afar, but in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, like you all said, this newness, Sean is the new director. This has had me and many of the actors out of our out of my realm, from being a leader in education to being the student. And like I said, Melissa, our friend, my lady, she's, you got to practice this way. You got to do it that way. And anyone that knows how stubborn I am, this has been a humbling experience.
Because you have to look at, this is somebody else's image of what the show is going to be. They have an image of how this show is going to play out. And it's not necessarily your image.
No. And so
they have a vision for this show, and your and vision better line up with their vision.
It's not even my vision better. What is your vision, Sean? And Jocelyn and the whole Theater Guild team has been gracious, very helpful. We get rehearsal reports. And then, you know, you read it every night. And just been on the stage with my daughter and watching her. And now she said, Dad, you should try it this way.
Is she in the show?
She's in the show.
Oh, I didn't know she was in the
show. Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness. So you're getting criticism from the director and the daughter.
And Melissa.
I got. I take piano lessons with a 12-year-old girl. And she's doing, she's got musicality, so she can figure this out real quickly, where I don't have musicality. And she sits there at the piano. Let me show you how to do it. Do it this way. And when I'm practicing, she look. I can see her looking at me, and she's very judgmental on how. She's a wonderful kid. I love this kid, but she keeps her eye on me all the time. So I can imagine what it's like. How old is your daughter?
21.
Oh, 21.
Yeah,
she's really judgmental.
Oh yeah, young Muhammad Ali, played by Skyler. And sometimes I give him a ride from Kenosha, and he's like, "You should try this. Have you did your lines like
what,
this?
That's what my piano lessons are like."
It's Skyler Blue. I think it's his first play. He's only done musicals before. And then Aquil, who plays a little older. Aquil is a senior at Case High School, and so he's done a lot of shows at Case.
Where do you find these young actors who've never acted before?
They came out to audition. We did have to do a little bit of recruiting with this one, but we've got a lot of, one of the great things about our board and a lot of our volunteers is we have a lot of great connections. So like Nate Stamper, for instance, who is the drama director at Case, he's done a lot of shows at the Theater Guild, so he was able to get us connected with Aquil.
You know what I find when I watch the show and I see one of the actors who was in the studio, and I want to go, oh, I know that guy. I met that guy. I met that woman. Oh, I know that woman. I met that woman. Look at her. She's on stage. And it's, I don't, you're like different people. Because you're actors, obviously. You play different people. Before I came in this morning, I was getting dressed, and they had Dog Day Afternoon on, Turner Classic Movies. And I was watching it while I was getting dressed this morning, coming in. At like 4 in the morning, they had it on. And I'm watching Al Pacino and John Cazale on there. And I'm saying, I don't know how these guys do it. They're different in every movie they're in. I mean, I don't know how they pull this acting off. And I'm watching Pacino. You know, he plays the bank robber. It's a real life story, too. He's playing a real life bank robber at the Chase Manhattan Bank in Brooklyn. And I don't know how these actors do it. How they become different people in everything they do. And you have some Racine Theater Guild veterans there.
Yes.
Who I've seen in a lot of shows. Yes. And they're never the same.
Yes. It's pretty incredible. And that's why we love talented people. And they all give, you know, again, they're all giving their time and their dedication to this. They're all volunteers. They've got other things happening in life. And then they come and they've got a show to concentrate on for a couple hours a night and a month of rehearsal. And then it's going to open to the public on Friday.
Anybody ever chicken out at the last minute?
Not that I know of. I hope it doesn't happen soon.
All of a sudden, somebody's like, I can't get in front of Please don't make me. And it's not like a regular stage where you can you know, duck behind the curtain.
Correct.
There is no curtain.
Yep.
It's a thin and a round almost.
It's a horseshoe, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not only the acting we were just talking about when Shep got here this morning. It's now the props are being added in. Now the costumes are being added in. All the lights, all the sound effects. And so not only are you remembering your lines, and then all of a sudden you have these other external stimuli coming into a scene.
Yeah, it's like you can't speak until the light is on you. Mm-hmm. Remember Poltergeist? Until the light. Now I can speak until the light.
You know, it's funny. I saw the movie Red, White, Green and Gold yesterday, the green and the gold, and it stars Craig T. Nelson. And all I kept picturing during the entire, you moved the cemetery, but you didn't move the bodies from Poltergeist. I kept picturing that line during the whole movie. Well, quick review now.
Yes.
The show opens up this Friday. It's called
Friday
In This
21st.
Corner. What? Mm-hmm. Two weekends. Mm-hmm. Actually, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
And In This Corner, Cassius Clay. It's a story about Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali from boyhood up until the Olympics, before he was known as Muhammad Ali. And the narrator of the show is on stage the whole time, and that's Sheb Mohammed. He's going to be in the show. Jocelyn will not be in the show.
I will not.
Jocelyn is the director of marketing and also of development for the Racine Theater Guild. And Doug Instance, who puts us all together, because he's the artistic director of the show. He's been there for, he's over 100 shows, like 104 shows, 103 shows now.
Over 30, almost 32 years.
And you recently lost one of your veterans of the show.
Yes, we did. We lost, we've lost a couple in the three in the last few months. So Norm McPhee, our artistic director from 1969 to 2000, passed away in November. And then we actually lost one of our life members. So we have volunteers who have dedicated years and years of service to the Theater Guild, and one of our life members, Ron Halverson, passed away at the end of January. Yes, and Ron was in a lot
great actor.
Of shows.
Oh, really?
He was a lawyer in his real life and was an actor from the 80s to...
He was in a ton of shows. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
And Norm McPhee was in here many times.
Yes, I'm sure he
sitting
was,
right
yeah.
where you sat.
Yeah.
Man. But, you know, time moves on.
Time moves on.
And they left their mark.
And, you know, again, we're always building